back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and as I always say, you, the show's for Big Blue Nation. I know a very disappointed nation considering the Giants are sitting where they are and unfortunately coming off a loss to Seattle, heading to the Motor City to take on Detroit on Sunday. And I know it's a disappointing season, but, you know, as I said yesterday, kind of always want to look at the glass half full, look forward to next season, what the Giants potentially can get in the draft, and who might be available in free agency. We're going to be taking your calls, talking Giants, for the next hour with you till 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, and then we've got a power down. Why? Well, a lot happening here at the facility today. You've got the players who then practice and are getting ready for that Detroit Lions matchup. After practice, players will be made available to the media. We will interview them, talk to them, and those interviews will be up on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. And as always, on Wednesday and Thursdays, we host the Big Blue Hit Show that you can tune into on Giants.com. Paul Dottino will be hosting that with Roman Oben, and I will have your fantasy football update, which, as most of you who do play fantasy football are very well aware, that this week is probably the most important week, because if you're still alive, chances are in 99.9% of most leagues, this is championship week. So this is the week that it matters. This is the week where you bring it home. This is the week where you make your coin. This is the week where you've spent the majority of your time, efforts, sneaking, looking at your roster in the cubicle, hoping your boss doesn't catch you. This is the week. This is the week that it all pays off. So we'll have some great fantasy football information for you later on. And keep in mind, I mean, hey, listen, I'm here for an hour. If you have any fantasy football questions, if you've made it to your championship, well, good for you. Congratulations. And if you have any fantasy football questions, we're here to take them as well. Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. And Paul Dottino, of course, will be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. You can find us at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat for any comments, questions that you want to present to the show. And as always, we bring on Eric Kennedy. Is he on board? He's not on board yet. We're going to get him. Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive, one of the best Giants fan sites out there. He joins us each and every Thursday. Paul, I'm actually quite interested to hear what Giants fans have to say after a very disappointing loss to the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, they had a lot to say to us yesterday on the show. I mean, that was a real that was a real downer. But, you know, as you said to me, what do you expect? I mean, it's been a bad season. And it's coming to an end here with a bad stretch of losing three out of the last four. And quite honestly, going into a real nasty spot here. I mean, Detroit's got to win this game. I mean, they're still alive. They're still thinking that they can make the playoffs. This is a must win for them. Not an easy task for the Giants at all, especially when you consider the fact that, you know, we got here yesterday and then we get told that the Giants have 10 guys on the injury report going into practice. This is not good.
Before we go to Eric, why don't you go down that list so folks out there listening have an idea of who did not practice yesterday.
Well, the guys they got 10 of them. Terrell Thomas is the only one who's not really concerned because he never practices on Wednesday anyway. They're trying to manage his knee injury. But you had Taylor with a hammy, JPP with the shoulder still, McBride groin, Jernigan knee, Jenkins with a shin and a quad, Hillis with a concussion, Cruz with his knee and his concussion, and then Brewer and Deal, two of your starting linemen, your two guards. Deal's got a knee and Brewer's got an ankle. I mean, it's not good. It's just not good. There's no other way to cut this. They're battered.
Let's head out to Eric Kennedy. Eric Kennedy joining us, as always, on Thursday, owner of Big Blue Interactive. Eric, I mean, first and foremost, just curious, what was the fan response after the Seattle game?
We're going to make this this is going to sound like a broken record, isn't it? Not good. I don't think most fans expected the Giants to win this game. They understood that Seattle is obviously the better team across the board, and they had something to play for, and the Giants really didn't. You're going to have an element of the fan base that no matter what's going to be angry after any loss. But I think what was upsetting to fans was just, again, here was another game where the Giants weren't very competitive. Now to give them credit, the defense obviously played their hearts out for most of the game. But when you don't cross midfield until midway through the fourth quarter, or when your star quarterback throws five interceptions, when, you know, there just isn't any, it just doesn't look like competitive football, it leaves fans scratching their heads. And I think most fans are starting to realize, if it wasn't for a string of games where they were playing backup quarterbacks, we're talking about a team that's probably finished the season 2-14 or somewhere in that area. So the drop off from 2011 to this point is really shocking to a lot of Giants fans, and I think they're still in a state of shock and obviously anger over this situation.
Well, Eric, you know, the only thing that I'm wondering right now, and I think it's a fair question, how many fans just want to get it over with? I mean, we talk about the players have to play for pride. They've got to play because they're professionals. They earn a paycheck. They need to go out there and do their best. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. But do the fans wish the season was over today?
Yeah, I think most of them do. And that's too bad because, you know, you wait so long for the season to roll around, and then it comes here, it gets here, and when you get to this point where a quarter of a season, you know, a couple games ago, where fans are already wishing it was over, it just shows you what a terrible season you've had. And then there's, combined with that is the fear that, you know, they don't want to see any more significant injuries. God forbid, you know, something happens to Eli in this last couple of games here, especially with the state of the offensive line. We were trying to speculate if Deal doesn't play and if James Brewer doesn't play, what the makeup of the offensive line was going to be. And it looks like Dallas Reynolds might play, and obviously Brandon Mosley. And when you're going up against those defensive tackles that Detroit has, that's a scary proposition. And I thought it was very, very frank and very shocking yesterday that Coughlin admitted that there was a discussion that they were at least contemplating maybe not even playing Eli for the full game in the Q&A that he had with the media. So I thought that was a startling admission by the coach there. You know, that's the type of thing that I think normally that they would keep in house. So they'd like to. I think fans are focused on the draft. They're focused on what this team needs to do. There is a sense, and you're starting to see the press pick up on this too, but this has been a discussion for weeks now, that Eli's getting a lot of blame. Tom Coughlin's getting a lot of blame, obviously, because the quarterback and the head coach always get the lion's share of blame when a season doesn't go well. But Jerry Reese is starting to take some hits, and Mark Ross is starting to take some hits because of the performance in the drafts of the last few years. Now, some of that's out of his hands with injuries that have popped up, but there's been a lot of busts, to be quite frank, in the second and third rounds, and they haven't gotten a lot of productivity out of the latter rounds either. A lot of the players that they've been drafted the last few years aren't even in the NFL, let alone the Giants roster. And the Star Ledger did a nice piece on this week in terms of outlining, you know, which players were gone and so forth. And fans are, again, so there's a realization or an understanding or a discussion amongst fans that in order to improve, given the salary cap, given Eli Manning's contract, they're going to have to make some tough decisions with current veterans that still are under contract, but they also need the realization that they need to start drafting better in order to turn this around.
Well, Eric, I tell you, it's not good. And the only thing I can tell you is it hasn't been this bad since 2004, and that's a pretty good thing, because how many teams would like to be able to say, you know, they go almost a decade without having to suffer through things like this?
Yeah, we did a piece this week. I did a piece on my Lions-Giants preview. What really wasn't more of a preview. It was more of a look back in terms of what this team has accomplished over the last 7 or 8 years, and to be proud of that, and don't let what's going on right now cloud people's opinion of what has transpired in the past. You know, there may be changes in the off season, but you know, we should still be thankful for what Tom Coughlin and Kevin Gilbride and Eli Manning and Justin Tuck and you know, the group of guys that was there for two Super Bowls and the larger group that was there for the last Super Bowl. Don't let that diminish that memory. And you know, success doesn't last in this league. And
it's hard.
It's something to say that you've, you know, the Giants have eight NFL championships, and two of those eight have been won in the last few years, and that says something. We should be thankful to those guys.
Eric, before we let you go, Paul and I took a number of calls yesterday, coming after Kevin Gilbride. And one thing that I tried to communicate to a lot of listeners was, you know, this is an offensive coordinator, and this is an offense that he's implemented here with Eli that's won two Super Bowls. So there's not a problem with the offense. The problem is the components that are supposed to make this offense work are not here. And that's, I think that's a really difficult pill to swallow for most Giants fans. I think for fans in general, because typically I think as human beings, if something goes wrong, we want to point our finger on it. We want to say, this is the reason why. This is what's happening. This is why it's not working. But it's very inaccurate. I think the perception of Giants fans and why this offense has been struggling. Do you see that on your message boards?
I think more people do blame the coaches, because it's easier to blame the coaches than it is to admit that the team's just not good enough. And I think what I sort of sometimes preach to fans is this, is how many players on this current roster would other teams take? And basically, you know, if even if looking at, I'm not trying to knock guys here, but, you know, would Brandon Myers be starting for another team in the NFL? Our offensive line is a mess. The running back situation has been banged up all year. One guy coming in after another. I think the real shocking thing for fans is this. What is going on? And again, some of this relates to the offensive line and the weapons around him, obviously. But what is going on with Eli Manning, and what is going on with his receiving core? Now, one can argue you can't throw to your receivers if your offensive line's not blocking and you don't have a running game. But back in 2011, they didn't have much of a running game either. So the question is the debate is this. Has Kevin Gilbride's system gotten stale? Have other teams figured it out? Has the league evolved? And I think it's a legitimate question. I'm certainly not expert enough to be able to answer that question. I tend to agree with you, Anita, that I don't think the league. I mean, I think Kevin Gilbride's been in this league long enough to, and he's been successful enough to think that maybe the problems probably doesn't lie with him, but may lie with the talent. But you have to admit, too, that there are issues, and there have been issues with Kevin in terms of the red zone and things of that nature. So there's a fair debate on it. I just hate to see people just, you know, make it so personal and see so much, take so many shots at somebody that was so instrumental in the success of this team so long. And that's something that, some fans, I think, are saying, hey, we appreciate the his service, but maybe it's time to look in a different direction, while others just are saying, oh, the problem's completely Kevin's fault. You know, it's not, you know, he's the reason Eli's not playing well. He's the reason that Hakeem Nicks is not playing well, that type of thing. So I think you've got fans all across the board there.
All right, Eric, thank you so much. Thanks for being a part of our program. Really appreciate it and appreciate the insight.
All right, thanks, guys.
You got it. Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive. Paul, I'm going to throw this your way. I mean, your thoughts on Kevin Gilbride's system. Do you think it's gotten old? Is it too outdated? Do you think that defenses kind of know what's coming when the Giants and Eli Manning come to town?
I mean, when as many parts are broken as what the Giants have right now, does it really matter if they know or don't know? It's pretty hard for the Giants to pull off what it is they want to do when they've got so many things going wrong with the unit. I mean, if you can't execute what it is that Kevin wants to do, I don't know if it matters who's on the other side of the ball, right? I mean, the Giants offense is a mess right now, and I don't think it's so much Kevin Gilbride's plans as much as the Giants just at this point in time don't have enough of personnel to do what it is that they want to do.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Ernest in Connecticut. Ernest, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I want to ask a question, but I want to hear the answer, please, if I can do this. It's normally cut off. I just want to ask, a lot of the injuries that I feel that happened on the offensive line, the wide receivers and running backs, it's because of Eli Manning. And what I mean by that, receivers have to jump up because it's inaccuracy is so bad, so they have to leap and try to catch balls, which put them in danger, like what happened to Cruz. The balls are behind them, so they have to adjust, causing what I would call like a whiplash effect, going backward instead of going forward. People are getting hurt. Low passes that are put in danger that have receivers vulnerable. The running back position he has to have because he's so immobile, he has to have people blocking him. So everybody has to be able to do so much stuff. Everybody has to do something to try to compensate him because he's so and he's so inadequate right now. It's hurting the offense. I think what they really need to do is try to have, I think they should take some of that money that he's getting and put some better players around him since he needs so much. They should try to take some of that money and try to put some good players around, so-called players. I think they have some pretty good players. Not all of them, but I think they have some pretty good players. He's an elite quarterback. Like I always said, he's getting paid elite money. He's supposed to make everybody else around him good. But to me, he's making people around him bad because everybody has to adjust to him so much. So I think it is Eli, and I think it is Gilbride's system. When you watch the game Sunday, watch it and you know what I'm saying. He will run the ball on first down, then he will pass it on second down. Run the ball on first down is so predictable. I don't see any different kind of, you know, play, no new wrinkles or anything. I think that David Wilson, and I'm 100% David Wilson fan, but I think because of his size, they have to bring in a bigger body to complement Eli Manning. He can't extend plays. He's not able to move in the pocket. Okay? So I think that they need to reduce his pay and get some better linemen.
Ernest, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And Paul, I'm going to throw this your way because I think I know you're sitting here, you're rolling your eyes, but I think Ernest makes an interesting point because I said this about Joe Flacco. I said, Joe Flacco, you pay Joe Flacco $20 million a year, 20.6, and you take away Anquan Boldin, Dennis Pitta gets hurt, not as great of an offensive line as he's had since day one. Joe Flacco's not going to perform. And look at his performance this season.
Right.
It has not been what it was last year because he doesn't have those components around him that he's had. And the reason he doesn't is because the Ravens had to spend so much money in going out and paying for him because he won the Super Bowl and he was the MVP, that the talent around him is diminished. And so now we're seeing the Ravens struggle. I mean, they're in a situation now where I think they have to win it outright. Cincinnati has to lose. Whatever the AFC North situation is. And I think there's an argument there to say, listen, I think there are some quarterbacks out there that should not be paid X amount of money because they do need a little bit more help. They do need some better offensive linemen around them in order for them to perform. They do need a number one wide receiver around them to perform. They do need a running back that's going to step up and no pass protection in order for them to succeed and have success. So I think there's a solid argument there from Ernest.
Somebody said something to me a couple of weeks ago that I thought was kind of interesting. You know how in the NBA they have the Larry Bird rule with the salary cap and you can like go over your salary cap for that one player, you assign him your Larry Bird rights, so to speak. Well, how about this? Little nouveau, little out-of-the-box thinking. How about the NFL comes up with a rule like that and says, okay, look, since the quarterback is so important to your team and since we have to pay him so much money, how about we put in some type of salary cap rule for the quarterback so that, hey, We know you got to pay your quarterback $15, $16, $20 million a year. Instead of having this guy take up such a huge part of your cap.
That won't happen because look at what's going on with Seattle. Seattle's paying.
Well, they're lucky right now because they haven't won with this guy. And he's done so well, so they can keep him cheap.
He came in as a rookie.
Right.
And
but don't you think if they win this year, he's going to want, you know?
No. I mean, there's nothing he can do. He's under a rookie contract.
He'll be in the three. You're right. But I guess what I'm saying is...
Now, does Seattle want to be wise and make sure that when that contract's not up, he doesn't test the free agent waters? So do they want to lock him down as their franchise quarterback? Yes. But then their defense probably won't be as great.
Well, the thought was that if you put in some type of percentage discount for the quarterback position, that might help alleviate some of the cap issues around the league and give teams a little bit more money to spend on other positions. I thought it was an interesting idea to contemplate. I'm not sure that I know that it works.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to think about. And I was like, you know what? I might think about that someday. I only offer that out there because the caller made a point about the money. That's
but
all.
You still didn't answer my question. Do you think that certain quarterbacks in the NFL that cannot create for themselves, that aren't the most athletic quarterbacks in the NFL, that aren't the top, let's say, 2-3% of the NFL, should maybe take a lot less money so that the team can spend it on talent to make sure that that quarterback has success?
Well, that's the smart move for everybody all around, isn't it? Isn't it smart for the quarterback to do that and smart for the team to also do that? Because they all need to realize when they sit down in the room that, hey, you know what? We're going to re-sign you or we're going to sign you here. We want to win. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to succeed. We got to find a way to make these numbers work for everybody. So isn't that common sense, though, that the QB and the management – have to understand what else is needed on the team, and they've got to be able to spread it around a little bit. I mean, I agree with you about the whole Flacco thing. I think you and I talked when that happened, and you said to me, wow, look at his number. This is not going to help the Ravens. It's going to hurt the Ravens. And I thought you were right. I mean, guys sometimes just have to sit down and have some common sense and understand that if I'm going to take up so much of the cap, I'm going to hurt this team. There is a balancing point there. You know, the seesaw, it does tend to move a little bit. It doesn't just stay in one spot. And if you tilt it in the wrong spot, it's going down.
201-939-4513, the phone number to get in. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll be monitoring, if you can, Paul, monitoring Twitter and sharing your tweets on the show. Let's continue with our calls. We go to Alan in Miami. Alan, welcome.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Okay.
So two things. One, you have to look at somebody. You know, I'm looking at these numbers now. 5 of the last 17 games, this team has scored 7 points or less. Obviously, you look at the quarterback, but you mean you have to. That's bad. 5 out of 17 games, you score less than 7 points? I mean, where is that offense coming from? You know, we have no offense at all. I think you have to look at the coordinator, and you have to look at how stale this is. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And secondly, you're right about the draft, and I touched on it when I called in on Monday. Where is Marvin Austin? Where are all these guys that they have drafted so bad? I mean, you look at a team like Seattle. You talked about Seattle. Russell Wilson, a third-round draft pick. Richard Sherman, a fifth-round draft pick. Cam Chancellor, a fourth-round draft pick. All these guys the Giants have passed on, and I'm just looking at Seattle. I can only imagine if I go through the entire league how many guys the Giants have passed up by drafting people that aren't even in the league anymore, as you guys said. And you have to also look at Jerry Reese. I mean, Greg Jones, Tyler Sash, Mark McCants. I don't even know who
Jones got hurt. No, don't put Jones in there. I only have to raise a flag there. The guy got hurt in a car crash.
Philip Dillard, Nick Pettis,
I'm with you. All right, I get it.
Even Matt Dodge.
I get the rest of the list. That's fine. Just you know, don't mention the poor guy who got hurt. I mean, that was tragic. But you're absolutely right. The Giants drafting over the last half a dozen years has not been good.
So then do you think, I mean, me as a fan moving forward, I'm looking at what's going on at the last 2 weeks of the year. I'm almost, I hate to say this, but I'd rather them lose the next two games and be 5-11 and have a top 10 pick instead of trying to finish the season 7-9 and be stuck in that 14-15 range. I'd rather get a top 10 pick. Because it doesn't matter if we lose these two games. It doesn't change anything.
I'm not going to try to be funny with you here.
The NFC North. I know we're not going to lay down. But I
don't want to be funny with you, but
with the way the drafting has gone the last several years, do you think 10 or 15 is going to make much of a difference?
I know what I'm saying?
I'm being a bit sarcastic here, but, you know, the Giants haven't picked well in the first five rounds of the draft.
But you can also package that, too. If you have a top 10 pick, maybe you can package that with something else and jump into the top five. I mean, there's a lot. A better pick is a better pick, no matter how you
want to play. You know? I know what you're saying. I'm trying to find a reason to smile here this morning. You know what I'm saying, pal?
I'm trying to find some silver lining. I'm trying to find something to be optimistic about it.
I hear you.
The only thing I can think of, instead of taking a loss and not getting anything out of it, at least with a loss, you know, you can get two picks up. I mean, at least that's something. You know what I mean? So I'll let you guys go, and I listen as much as I can. So I appreciate you guys, and I love the fact that there are no commercials in between, so you guys can just go straight up.
Alan, thank you for the phone call. I mean, this is something that we've been talking about as well the past few weeks, is looking forward to the draft. And you said, we talked about it yesterday, if the draft was to start today, the Giants would have what pick? You said somewhere between 10 and 15, right?
Yeah, well, going into, I'm looking now to see where they would be. They would be 11 as of today.
Okay.
They would be 11.
And who's your offensive lineman that you...
I had Tony Richardson out of Tennessee was the guy. He's a right tackle.
Why do you like him so much?
Well, he's like 6'7", 325, and he's a ferocious run blocker. He's a power tackle. All the things the Giants could really use.
So let's say, hypothetically speaking, they draft him. Do they put him at right tackle, move Pugh over?
I think I would move Pugh to right guard and put Tiny at right tackle. And, you know, that would be a heck of a start there,
so
because
you have
two young guys on the right side.
Okay, so then you have Beattie, and then you have Snee. You're anticipating Snee to come back from that hip issue?
No, I'm thinking Snee maybe not be able to make it back. I'm thinking he may have to retire.
Okay, so then who's your left guard?
I got to draft one in rounds two or three.
So two rookie offensive linemen.
Like what the Bears have right now. They have a rookie starting right guard and a rookie starting right tackle.
And who's your center?
Booth. I'm bringing him back.
Interesting. 201-939-4513.
You don't like it?
Let's go. Two rookie offensive linemen with Eli Manning? No. In the system? No, I don't.
Okay.
The system is as thick as War and Peace. It's been enough for Pugh to understand it, and Pugh's probably one of the most intelligent offensive linemen who came out of the draft, and he's still learning. Two freshman offensive linemen in this system? No. Let's go to Big Ed in Maryland. Big Ed, welcome.
Hey, how everybody doing?
Hi.
This is great. How you been?
How are you?
First of all, I just want to say, hey, Big Paul, I'm going to make you feel better. Guess what? I just attended my first home game in Giants history as a fan.
Hey, good for you, man.
It was great, even though we didn't win and didn't score a thing. But what I can say is I can get the good from it. The defense, solid. It's just solid. I mean, I just love the fact that we got John Beeson. That was a major, major pick. I just wish we could just continue with this running game a little bit better, finish out these last two games, because we got a lot of off-season work we got to do. I'm not worried about anybody else talking about these draft picks, about this and that. Look, let me tell you something. We still pick good draft picks. The job is being done right, okay? We went out and scouted these players. Prime example, Akeem Nix. I scouted him at Chapel Hill at University of North Carolina. Knew he was going to be a Giant. I knew it firsthand. There was no doubts in my mind. He's definitely going to be that. My biggest question for you, Paul, is his team going to leave?
I think so. I think it's better than 50-50 that he's gone. If that's really what you want me to put a number on it, I'd say yes.
Not even taking a pay cut and staying?
I don't see it. That's just my gut feeling based on what I see. And honestly, no one has come out and said that to me. It's just,
right.
you get that feeling.
Yeah, I know it's there, but it don't have to be.
Nothing has to be until it is, all right?
Right.
I've seen too many things in my life that appear to be something that aren't what they are, so I can't guarantee that. But you're asking me what I think? I don't think he's here.
Yeah. Okay. So my good question then was, who will we replace him? Who will we get to replace him?
Got to go get somebody.
Need a number one receiver.
Yeah, got to go get somebody. You know, that's where I think Anita's right about the playbook. I think if you're going to spend money to go bring a veteran in,
I think you got to go spend the money and bring a veteran receiver in or a veteran running back in, because to know the system and know the plays, the skill position guys need to know that even a lot more than the offensive linemen do. So, Anita, I got to disagree with you on that. I think if you got to spend money to bring in a vet because he's got to be pro-ready and he's got to be wily enough to understand the playbook, I think you could probably get away with the younger guy on the offensive line easier than you could get away with a rookie receiver or a rookie running back. You follow what I'm saying? You're not going to have enough money if you're the Giants. You're not going to have enough money to go out and buy more than maybe one big-ticket guy.
I'd rather buy the guy on the skill position. This is what I'm saying. If you had an opportunity to talk to Justin Pugh, he will still tell you that he's learning this offense. And he probably wouldn't have as much success if David Deal wouldn't take his hand. And David Deal's been on this offense forever and a day. Now you put two rookies on this offensive line who might not be as intelligent as Justin Pugh. Let's face it. You and I both know him. He's a very intelligent player. You put in an offensive lineman, two that are rookies that maybe aren't as intelligent, and that player doesn't necessarily have a David Deal next to him.
So what do you want to do? Maybe go for one free agent and one rookie? Will you do that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I'll compromise with you.
I think you need to do that.
All right.
I say we need a new corner. I say we need a wide receiver. And definitely another defensive lineman between there and the safety, because it's almost getting near that time of rebuilding, because certain players are older and certain players are younger. But the best part about next year will be a lot healthier. At least I hope so. Because this is really tore us apart this year. The injuries. Oof, brutal. I tell you guys, thank you so much for talking to me. I appreciate you so much. This week has been great. You know, first game.
I'm glad for you.
First day was yesterday. I just turned 21 twice.
Nice.
So good. And then I'm about to find out I'm about to have a first baby. Oh, my God.
How about that?
Yeah, yeah. So, Paulie, hey, man, Merry Christmas, man. We love you, okay?
You too, man. Thanks, pal. You too.
Forever, all right? All right. Talk to you guys later.
That's awesome. Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, Anita, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Congratulations to Big Ed on your baby. And I don't agree with him on the safety issue, though. I think that's one of the last positions we need to worry about, the safety. I think we could all agree the offense has let us down tremendously this year. And, you know, being a true Giants fan, you know, you really want to look for is some answers. And, I mean, to me, it's the same old common denominator. Obviously, Eli's play really hurt us this year, too. And I think, you know, hopefully we can all agree with that. And, I mean, obviously there's a lot of other pieces that let us down as far as the running game and the offensive line, you know. But to me, you know, what I've said for probably the last 2 years on this show, you know, it's, you know, we need change at the offensive coordinator position. I mean, you can say what you want. I don't know if it's people getting used to it, it's stale, it's too complicated, it's this, it's that. But it's only one common denominator. I mean, I just think people being really naive to think that all these, 11 players on offense, all of them are just playing bad. I mean, come on now. I mean, it's the coaching. You know, I mean, I didn't call up to bash Kevin Gobry, but I'm looking forward to a change at that position, at offensive coordinator more than anything. I can't wait to see him gone. No, it's not even personal. But I really feel like it's hurting the team. You know, to me, it looks like the same chuck and duck that your buddy Ryan punched him in the face for. You can, you know, say it has some differences, but it all comes down to, you know, add offensive line play, Eli throwing off his back foot, keeping our receivers all the time hurt. We can't even keep a tight end. They don't even like playing there because all we get is high balls. That's why Victor Cruz is hurt. High ball. That's why Shockey didn't like playing with Eli. High balls all the time, you know. I heard it from inside the locker room. People get tired of, you know, catching those high balls. Yeah, they're football players, but, you know, the ball placement has been terrible. And quite frankly, the play calling has been terrible. You know, I mean, it's just my opinion. We're just way, way, way too predictable. Everybody knows the play was going to run before we play it. So I just have a hard time making all these wholesale changes. The players I know are good players that, you know, maybe not the best players, but, I mean, to me, find out what the strength of your team is, and you have to, you know, you have to make that work as opposed to just trying to fit, you know, square pegs in the round holes. It's like, oh, this is my system, you know, whatever. I mean, players are just sitting on the bench too long, you know, that we have. It's ridiculous.
All right, Steve. Painful. Steve, mm-hmm. we'll let you have your say. We're going to let you go. We'll respond offline. I need some help here, Anita. Please explain something to me.
Well, okay, first let me say this first. I don't think Giants fans realize this system is as much Eli Manning's as it is Kevin Gilbride's. The two of them are like two peas in a pod. They're as thick as thieves. Kevin Gilbride calls in a play. That play has many, many avenues to it, and then Eli Manning decides what avenue he wants to travel down. You bring in a new offensive coordinator, you bring in a new system, that is not just one step back, that's not two steps back, that's like 10 steps back for Eli Manning. He's going to have to learn this whole new system. And on top of that, like, for example, there's a number of and I get it, the Chip Kelly and looking at what Philadelphia is doing with Nick Foles is so sexy and so cool, and oh man, it works. You're seeing what San Francisco has been able to do with Colin Kaepernick, and granted, you know, they mix some things up, and he's just now coming to his own. In the past few weeks, that 49ers offense has really exploded. It took a while this season because they did mix some things up. You're looking around the league and you're looking at different offenses that are more exciting, more sexy, putting up more points. But Eli Manning can only fit so many systems, number one. And number two, for him to learn an entirely new system, to bring in a different offensive coordinator, you can't guarantee that that's going to be the problem solver and immediately this team's going to start winning again. Because this is a system that Eli... Like, this is a system built around your quarterback. This is the system that allows your quarterback to have success, and he has had success because he's won two Super Bowls, and he was the MVP of both those Super Bowls. The problem here, people, is that the players, the components that also need to step up and perform are not doing it. They're not doing it. So it's not Kevin Gilbride's fault. You don't have a good offensive line. I'm sorry. Brewer is not a starting offensive lineman in the NFL. He's just not. I think Andre Brown is fantastic, but he's not a featured back, and neither is David Wilson. And for the majority of the season, when David Wilson played, this is a young man, and I know we sound like a broken record, but this is a young man who doesn't understand blitz packages and doesn't know how to help with pass protection. So he's back there with Eli Manning, and Eli Manning is nervous as all get out because he knows his back's not going to pick up the blitz, and he's going to die. So how do you expect your quarterback to be accurate? How do you expect your quarterback to have success in those conditions? It doesn't happen, people. It doesn't happen. So let's look forward to next year. Let's look forward to the Giants addressing the offensive line problems, whether it's in the draft or free agency, hopefully both. Let's look forward to maybe the Giants putting their feelers out in regard to some free agent running backs like Ben Tate. I think Ben Tate would be an excellent pickup here. He's great with pass protection if you watch him with the Houston Texans. In my mind, he is a featured back. I think he could handle the load. And then you complement him with a David Wilson. God willing that he's healthy, please. I don't know, Paul.
That was your best rant of the season.
I will step off my soapbox now. What did you want to say?
I asked you for help, and you did exactly what I was hoping you would do. I have nothing else to add.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Sonny in Texas. Sonny, welcome.
How you doing? I just you took some of my talk away with your Eli thing, but I want to remind everybody we were two field goals from being 11-5 last year, and I think we won 10 games a year before, and I guess that's why it's so disappointing this year. But when we put pressure on the quarterback, we say we're throwing him off his game. Why do fans think it doesn't work the same way with Eli? And, you know, interceptions, when we intercept, is a great play by our defense. But when we get intercepted, it's all on the offense, you know.
Sonny, that's very well said. A lot of people do have those kinds of knee-jerk reactions. And quite honestly, I hesitate to use the word, but some people are just very shallow. And they just don't want to peel back the onion and figure out what really the story is, you know. There are so many components in this game. This is not like baseball, okay? Baseball, you throw the ball, you hit the ball. You field the ball, you run. Football is like so many multiple more times complex than the other sports. And there really are domino effects that are in play every time something goes wrong. And for that matter, every time something goes right, too. And that's right. Why it's such a great game. It's also very frustrating, you know?
Right, I understand. And draft choices, I was reading someplace where only half the first rounders are in the league 4 years later.
I had not read that, but that would be an interesting comment to explore.
And you take Seattle, everybody's saying what cheap players they got, but they stunk for what? How many years? You want to stink for that many years to get cheap players? You know.
I hear
you. I don't think Giant fans do.
No, I think that's one of the byproducts of the way the league is set up. You know, you got to be really bad to then get to be really good, and then they really try to make it hard for you to stay good. Right. I mean, there's no doubt about that. That's what the league decided to do because they wanted to maintain a competitive nature and also what they thought to be a financial structure that would work.
Right, and how many Hall of Famers do we have on the team now?
Well, right now, I think Eli's going to the Hall of Fame.
Right, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And he made Smith, Boss, and Ballard big contracts. So
well,
everybody's,
sure.
You know. So I think he makes receivers if he's given time, like any quarterback.
Well, appreciate the phone call.
You too. Have a good day. And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you very much, Sonny. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lynn. Obviously, Lynn in Columbia, Maryland. Lynn, what you doing, my friend?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys? And good to be able to talk to you again. You know, that previous caller, first of all, he had a really good point about the pass rush. Not that anybody doesn't know this, but I think if you look at Matthew Stafford's statistics when there's pressure on him, I mean, he's going to be terrible. He's going to look terrible. I mean, pressure is important, and if it affects other quarterbacks, it indeed is going to affect Eli. Which moves me to what Paul said about going offensive line first and working, you know, inside out. And I like the way he laid it out with an offensive tackle in the first round. You know, one possibility, offensive tackle in the first round. And I think if we're drafting 12 to 15 with the number of quarterbacks that are going to go early, there are going to be some stud offensive tackles available. And maybe it is the guy Richardson from Tennessee. I certainly like the size, Paul, 6'7", 325.
Yeah, he's a power blocker and a run guy. He's a tractor.
Yeah. There you go.
A bulldozer, I should say.
Yeah. Now, let me just add one thing to your scenario with guard in the second round. There's no reason why we can't go free agency for center. And that leads me to say, you know, Booth has done a nice job for us over the years, but I think Kevin's role next year, ideally, ought to be that swing lineman inside. He's the sixth guy.
Well, that's okay, too. I mean, but remember,
like
the only thing is,
how
many new guys can you get and how many guys can you afford to pay also? Because the cap will be part of this.
Now, here's the problem that I see if you go offensive line in the first round. And like many other callers, it bothers me like heck to have to talk about the draft with two games left in the regular season.
I know.
Yeah, but let me just say this. If Nix leaves... You know, a lot of people out there would say, well, good riddance. He's not very good anyway. But let's just say this. If Nix leave, we got a hole at wide receiver, Paul, which may force us into going wide receiver with that 10, 12, 15.
No. Do not do that. Len,
well,
stay far.
Nick,
no.
Nix leaves. Suppose Nix leaves.
So what?
Paul.
So what? You'll get a receiver somewhere down the line. Do not waste that pick, which has to be used on an offensive lineman, on a wide receiver. You can get... Look, they got Victor Cruz as an unrestricted free agent, and the guy's going to be a three-time 1,000-yard receiver. Do not waste a top 12 pick on a wide receiver.
Okay. You know, we got a little different opinion, but okay.
That kid from Texas A&M is very, very tempting. What's his name? Michael Eaves, right?
The number of 6'3", 220 wide receivers out there.
Are you Googling?
Yeah, I'm taking care of it for you.
Google. That wide receiver from Texas A&M? Oh. Mike Evans. That's it. Thank you, Neely. Evans.
I wanted to say two things to Anita.
If I could.
You know, Anita, when you were talking about, system and Eli learning a new system, listen, Eli's a smart guy. He can learn a new system. He may like the relationship that he's got with Gil Brighton. He may like this system. But Anita, God forbid we're tied to a coach because our quarterback can't learn a new system.
Oh, Len, hold on, Len, I got to step in.
Wait. I didn't say that. I didn't say he couldn't learn a new system. What I'm saying is, you just don't learn a system in one season and feel as comfortable in it as a system that you've been in for almost,
a decade.
A decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
like
I'm
don't
not
like
blaming Kevin. I'm not blaming Kevin. I just want to say, if when we study this, when top management studies this and they find that we need to bring somebody, are you suggesting that we shouldn't bring in a new coordinator?
No, I don't think the coordinator's the problem.
This
is what I'm saying, Lynn. The coordinator is not the problem. This coordinator has won you two Super Bowls. This coordinator has won his quarterback two MVPs.
It's not
the coordinator.
Okay. Listen, it's a catch-up league, Anita. These guys out there on the defensive side are smart people. Sometimes the system gets a little stale.
But what I'm telling you is that's not the problem. If this team had a top-notch offensive line, if Eli Manning had 3 seconds,
Listen, you're making a good argument. I'm just beginning to lose faith in the Gilbride system.
And I understand that. And as I said earlier, I think we as people, okay, when something's not right and something goes wrong, we want to know why. Why isn't this working? Why is it broken? Why aren't we winning? And we want an explanation. I do believe that Kevin Gilbride is the easy explanation for most Giants fans. But what I'm telling you is that it's not the accurate one.
That's what I'm saying. I'm beginning to question. I've been on board all year. I'm just beginning to question. I mean, you watch the play on the field. You see what happens. The coverages.
Len, hold on a second. No. Look, I got to jump in here. Please, my friend.
Okay.
What you're seeing now from this offense the last couple of weeks, remember, this team is now emotionally demoralized. You got spare parts having to step in bigger roles. It's not a healthy situation for anybody. So for you to start grading the offensive coordinator on what's happening right now and saying this is causing you to lose faith, that is horribly misguided and horribly shallow. I'm surprised you would say that.
Well, Paul, what are we going to base it on? I mean, what are we learning in these last two games? Are we learning anything?
All you're trying to learn from these last couple of games right now are about your players. This is not about coaches' philosophies and coaches' game plans. That's not what these last couple of games are about. If you want to look at DeMontre Moore and tell me you think he's got pass rush skills, do that. You want to look at Jonathan Hankins and tell me you think he can hold the line of scrimmage, do that. But this is not about, ooh, I like the play calling or I don't like the scheme. That's not what you're grading right now.
Okay.
This is way beyond that. The team is cooked, man.
Okay, when the season is over, though, Paul, we're not absolving the coaching staff, are we?
No, of course not.
Are we looking hard at the coaching staff?
What you have to do, Len, what you have to do is, if you're management, you call everybody in. It's the coordinators, it's the head coach, it's all the position coaches. They each get their evaluations. And what happens is you say, look, tell me what you think went wrong here. Tell me what it was. Now tell me why you think it was. And tell me what you think we can do to fix it. And you go through three levels of questions, okay?
Boy, that, And that's the important one, Paul, at the end. And that's the one where I make the decision whether I keep a coach. So,
well, but you can't make that decision until you hear all three levels of answers.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Come on, man.
Okay. No, I got you. I'm you know, we differ just a little on this, Paul. Can I say one more thing to Anita?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Anita, you know, we keep talking about these $20 million quarterbacks. Let's remember, the Ravens didn't have to pay Flacco $20 million. I just picked Joe's name there. It could be anybody. It could be Drew Brees. It could be Eli Manning. It could be Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. No one says you must pay the quarterback $20 million. They chose to pay the quarterback $20 million, Anita.
Yeah, because that is the going rate right now for top-notch quarterbacks. And Joe Flacco came off of not only winning a Super Bowl, but heroics towards the end of that last drive to help the Ravens score, I don't want to rehash the last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And because of that, he demanded those type of dollars, which I think is absolutely insane. I mean, I get what happened at the Super Bowl, but if you're telling me that Joe Flacco is the caliber of quarterback of an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees or a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady, I will highly disagree with you.
But I mean, from an organizational standpoint, if they didn't pay Joe the $20 million, somebody else would.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's such desperation for quarterbacks on the bottom. Once you get past the first 15, those next 15 are interchangeable. Put them in a hat and pick one up out of the hat and start them at quarterback. There's really only a few of them that are really worth the accelerated dollars. Somebody would have given. Would you agree? Somebody would have given Flacco the $20 million?
Hands down. Yeah, absolutely. They would have.
Yeah. Hey guys, you have a great holiday. It's always fun talking to you.
All right, you
Thank
too,
you
Lynn.
Very much.
You too, Lynn.
You got
Thank
it.
You very much. Thank you.
All right. No more calls. It's been a very interesting Thursday morning with you folks. We appreciate your phone calls, and we appreciate your opinions. And again, I totally understand. I understand, Paul, why Giants fans are frustrated. I understand why they're kind of pointing the finger at Kevin Gilbride. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion. My opinion is that I think that's inaccurate. I don't think Kevin Gilbride's the problem here. I think the problem here is the roster. And the roster needs to get better, and it needs to improve. And hopefully that's what will happen this offseason.
Yeah, you know, you and I have been around long enough to know, you know, where to dig and where to... you know, to examine and what to look at and whether the telltale signs are this and that. And we also know enough not to just have a knee-jerk reaction and just immediately point a finger and look at the easiest way out. There's always a lot more to the equation than the surface. And I think, you know, we both strongly agree on the offensive coordinator. And quite frankly, you're right. I do understand the fans' frustration. I just I wish they'd be a little bit more analytical about it. I guess that's why we're here, to try to help them do that. But it can be a real head scratcher sometimes.
Well, we thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned to Giants.com. Players' interviews will be posted a little bit later as they make themselves available to the media later on this afternoon after practice, and those interviews will be posted. Also, 4:00 Eastern Time. Tune in to Giants.com as well. We have Big Blue Hits. Paul Dottino will be hosting with Robin Oben, and I will join them for a fantasy football segment. So we'll see you then.